great delivery. It spun, perhaps the first ball that spun this morning for Panesar. And Tendulkar is walking back, bowled once again.
Hello and welcome to the only cricket podcast that has a combined 50 test caps and 167 test wickets for its panellists. As ever, I'm joined by Toby Reynolds. Toby is in Paris. Toby, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. It's not bad. A bit sunburnt. Been at the tennis all day and sat in the boiling heat. But no, I'm good otherwise. How are you?
I'm very good. I'm off to Leicester versus Yorkshire tomorrow. A bit less glamorous than Roland Garros. But today we are joined. We're very grateful for this. To talk about his amazing England career, as well as having a look forward to the men's 2023 Ashes, it is our pleasure to be joined by Monty Panesar. Monty, how are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Yeah, good to have you on, Monty. Well, we'll jump right in then with our usual opening feature, my favourite feature, the sticky wicket super over, which is just quick fire questions, which you have to answer not as fast as you can, but in fairly few words. So question number one, which athlete from any other sport would you like to see play cricket?
That's a great question. Probably Usain Bolt. I'd love to see him bowl from a long run-up.
Next up, the T20 Blast or the 100?
100.
I'd like to hear that.
Oh, Toby's a very big shill for the 100. If you're walking out to bat, what song would you like to walk out to?
Only Full Monty. I believe in miracles.
Great answer. And what are three essentials of cricket tea?
Obviously, a cup of tea, scones, and cheese and cucumber sandwiches.
Lovely. And would you rather be in the Lord's Pavilion for a test match or the Holly Stand for finals day?
Holly Stand for finals day.
Yes.
Lovely. Now, Monty, you had a very memorable first series of test match cricket for England, debuting at Lord's, taking a fiver in your third test, as well as hitting a six off Murali. What are your memories of your emergence of the international scene?
Yeah, it was really good, actually. At the time, I had Duncan Fletcher, who was really good at... he was a great coach. He was an observing coach. And so observing coach basically means doesn't say too much, lets you figure out the answers. And sometimes that's a really good place to be. I find that a lot of people give feedback very quickly. And what Duncan Fletcher, I think, said to me was well, it's easy to destroy a cricketer by saying too much, but it's, you know, you want to say one or two meaningful things. And I think he was one of the best observing coaches I came across.
How did you compare to Moores and Flower, who you also were coached with under England? And how do you think they would be under Brendan McCullum? How do you think you'd perform under him?
Yeah, look, I think Moores was very much a hands-on coach. He wanted to know your processes. He wanted to know the things that you're, what makes you, what are your strengths, your weaknesses, to explain those things. And sometimes I found it very difficult to do that because I was so used to the style of Duncan Fletcher, where he would just give you the space to work out things and see if you can be successful at test cricket, because he felt that to be successful at test cricket, you've got to work things out for yourself. And he was brilliant at doing that. So that's what I think. Duncan always was that type of player person. He always wanted people to because when you're in the heat of the battle, you know, and you've got a fast bowler coming in, or if this ball's swinging too much, or you've got to get a batsman out, you've got to work out very quickly, right, what do I need to do here? And so essentially I felt that that space helped me. But with Peter Moores, he was very much a hands-on coach. He wanted to know, how do you bowl your best ball? What are you going to do in this game plan? What are you going to do in that? And I kind of struggled in that environment. But now we're really good friends because I can see why he's a good coach. I just probably wasn't good at communicating to someone who wants to know everything, you know, about your game, because then they want to help you. And that's something you learn with time.
Nice, yeah. We're obviously all incredibly excited about the Ashes here at Sticky Wickets and across the country as well, with a full special coming out very soon. As a veteran of three Ashes, Monty, how important to the players is the Ashes?
I think the Ashes is probably one of the most important series of every English cricketer. it makes or breaks you. People remember you for your for the Ashes. Like a lot of people remember, you know, my first fifer at Perth, and you know the Test match I saved at Cardiff. Like, yeah, like an Ashes successful Ashes career propels you, you know, into limelight straight away. So I remember Joe Root saying that as well. So I think, yeah, an Ashes successful Ashes series, suddenly you're like the superstar.
And with Ashes, so many stories just come and go. One of the most exciting stories that I'm really interested to hear your thoughts on was the trip to Bavaria before the 2010-11 Ashes. What are your memories of that? Or are you able to talk about that? Because that seemed quite traumatic for everyone involved.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about that was that team bonding exercises, physical difficulties, putting yourself under physical strain, you sort of get to know people a bit more about their character. It's a lot easier being in a sort of cozy, comfortable environment that you're used to. And a lot of coaches, they test you that. You know, they test your mental strength, your physical strength, when you're in a completely unfamiliar territory. And they want to know what you're like as a character, what makes you flinch, what makes you what you're good at. And especially it's the team bonding. You know, the team bonding that brings the team together because you've gone through a real special, tough experience. I think that helped us when we got to Australia, winning test matches, getting us through the tough times because we did something really unique, really tough in a place in Germany, which was obviously, it's like, you know, the training they gave us was like army regiment stuff, you know. 2 o'clock, you're asleep in the tent. Next thing you know, you've been raided. There's an ambush. You got to get out of there quickly. Some people don't want to get out of bed. Others are infuriated because of the circumstances at night. Why do we have to do this? But that's the test, isn't it? That's the test of your character. How do you deal with these things? And I think that very much helped England win the Ashes.
What do you think was the most important like test or challenge that you guys had to do that made the team bond most?
I think there were several different aspects, to be honest. Everyone gets challenged in a different way. You know, some people get challenged mentally. Can they work out an exercise of where to get from route A to B? Others, physically, they're getting extremely tired because of maybe a boxing exercise or, you know, running a 5K run. So there's so many different aspects that there isn't one particular exercise or activity that build the team together. It's more about the whole experience and the way they've designed and tailored the boot camp exercise, that it enables to test each individual in a different way. But coming out of it, it kind of like thinks, well, it makes the team a lot more sort of together, knowing that as a team, when there's a tough situation, we as together can get through it. And I think that's probably the most important message that came through that.
Definitely, yeah. Now, the Basball team, the current team, have quite a different style. Their equivalent to Bavaria seems to be playing on a golf course. How do you think your performances would have changed if you're playing in the sort of current side now?
Yeah, I probably would have been backed a bit more, you know, as a fielder, maybe as a batsman. I would have been told to like just play shots, don't defend. You know, I wouldn't be pigeonholed as a defence player or a batsman who's a number 11. He probably would have said, go on, Monty, I want to play some shots. I want to see what kind of talent you have. Bowling-wise, just bowl. I want you to bowl attacking lines. I want to, you know, flight the ball and have the field up and try and encourage them, do things which is very attacking. And we don't mind if you know, get a hit for a six. But I want you to be attacking. And I think, you know, I would have responded to this attacking sort of style of cricket that they're playing right now.
Someone who has benefited from Basball is Jack Leach, who unfortunately has been ruled out of the series due to a stress fracture. We wish him all the best. Monty, who do you think will replace him for England?
Yeah, look, I think Moeen Ali looks like a good shout to me because we know what we're going to get from him with the ball, with the bat. He's been with Ben Stokes during the Chennai Super Kings. So they've been closely, you know, went through a journey of winning the IPL trophy. So then they'll know what it's like, you know, in a tough situation or in a winning moment, how to keep the momentum going, because they've been part of a team over the last 6 weeks to do that. So I think Moeen Ali would probably be the guy that they'll replace him.
It's likely going to be a tight series between the English and the Aussies. What are your predictions for the scoreline, Monty?
Well, it depends on the pitches. I believe that they need to produce green surfaces, so then the seam bowlers are in the game all the time. I just think there's not enough pace and depth in the English cricket at the moment with the pace that Pat Cummings and the rest of the team have. So, and Nathan Iyer line as well. So if, with the flat pitches, he'll be in the game. Slightly green surfaces, he may not be able to get the same purchase or the turn with the flight that he gets and the revolutions he gets on the ball. So I just think to negate the Australian fast bowlers out of the game, green surfaces will help England, but Australia will find it a bit more difficult because they like to hit the deck and they from Australian style pitches. But I think they're going to produce flat pitches because they want the test matches to go on the fourth and the fifth day. It's very difficult to give a call. I think there'll be a few test matches where England will be prepared to lose it for a win. And I think that's going to be the most excitement one. We don't know who will win. But it's like that first test match against Pakistan. It was they declared, and we thought, well, this is a generous declaration. And England won. And I'm more excited about them sort of test matches, where England may have to force a result, and it would be interesting to see how they do that.
Yeah, no, it's hopefully going to be an exciting series. Being England spinner in an Ashes series, whoever it might be, is going to be especially difficult. And whoever might come in will be a similar kind of experience to you. So you came in for Ash Charles in 2006-7, Graham Swann in 2014. What are the pressures like as a spinner within the series, especially being parachuted in mid-series?
Yeah, you've got to be very clear about your game plan. You've got to be very clear about your role. You don't want to be overwhelmed by the occasion. You want to enjoy the occasion and you want to embrace it. And I think both myself and Swanee, we did that. We very much enjoyed, and it wasn't like we got to the destination and like you ran a marathon and you're like, oh, finally got here. It's like, no, this is actually the start of the race. It's the start of my career. It's the start of my, let's say, the London Marathon, we call it. And that's the mentality you need to have once you play for England. You're like, right, now I'm starting my journey where I want to get to. And you find a lot of cricketers, they feel like they've arrived at the destination and they tend to sort of then get overwhelmed by the occasion. But you want to embrace the intention. You want to embrace the media. You want to embrace the fans' reaction. Even if I was misfielding down at fine leg and everyone sort of giving me a right sort of going, you got to enjoy all of that, because that's the part of being an international cricketer.
Monty, you've talked very openly in the press and especially in the Edge documentary, a fantastic documentary about that England 2019 going forward, about the pressures Test cricketers endure and what goes on behind the scenes. What are these players about to endure in this Test series?
I think it's going to be much more relaxed environment off the away from cricket. I think they've been preparing, going to some golf in Scotland, doing some nice sort of things away in nature, where time to reflect, time to relax. Training is optional. I wish I had that in my time. I probably would never turn up to training and just get there on the first day of the test match. So, Monty, where you been for the last few days? Oh, just been on a golf course and enjoying my time there and just trying to improve my golf. And then, and that's something I think I remember Ronnie O'Sullivan saying, that he found running as a way to escape, saying, so get out of the hotel room. So then the day before his major sort of snooker match, he would go out running with a running partner. So his mind is not occupied, not thinking about the game. And then when you enter the ring, or you enter the snooker table, or you enter the cricket arena, then you switch on, right? Okay, what do I do for today? So then your energy is not consumed when you're away from the game. You've got some sort of activity to occupy your mind, but not think about cricket. And I think that's where Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes have got it spot on, that they're able to get the players to switch off from the game and then switch on when they arrive at the ground.
Definitely, yeah. I think particularly in a long series, which obviously the Ashes is, That's really key to be able to sort of keep home, well, being away from the tests, quite key. But in these long series, Monty, how difficult is it to be a spinner, particularly as you sort of can't intimidate the opposition like a seam bowler, and they sort of begin to see your trends as the spinner?
Yeah, look, I think the difficulty is this. If you don't have a good stock delivery, so like it's like your bread and butter, you always need to be, the players who are not technically sound, they're the ones I find really more interesting to watch. Because me, under pressure, I was technically good. I had a really smooth technical action. People said you're like, your bowling was like Rolls Royce, or like how you lay out a carpet, the roll of it is just beautiful, it's smooth and rhythmical. And that's how my bowling was. So under pressure, I always fell back to my technique as a bowler. There's some out there, technically, they're not that good, but then mentally, they'll be quite strong. Or others will use tactically, they'll be smart. So each cricketer has his strength when they fall back to when they're under pressure. I always fall back to my stock delivery. And as a bowler, the difficulty is if you don't have a good stock delivery, then you're always going to play catch up, because then the bowler's batsman's going to be ahead of you. He's going to always outguess what you're doing. But if you've got a good stock delivery, then that's how you can then start building 5 to 10 overs ahead to get a batsman out. And that hopefully that's only concern for Moeen Ali will be, is his stock delivery as good as it has been since he's left Test cricket? And that I'm just not sure at the moment.
You talk about bowling being almost a place of comfort and having a stock delivery that you can go back to. A place of comfort that wasn't really yours, Monty, was at the crease. And in 2009, one of the defining moments of your career at Cardiff, I remember watching it, being told to stay in my lucky space. I hope that helped. Was that 2009 third innings a magnificent performance from you? What are the sort of memories you have of that, or is it just a blur?
Well, I think it was more of a, at the moment, I can still remember it. I can still remember facing the ball. I can still remember the ball going short and I had to drop my hands down. I remember playing the spinners. I remember hitting North, Michael's North for a cut. Before then, I think what Andy Flower had said was, how do we get the tail to wag, as you say in cricket? And we are, my batting partner was Paul Collingwood. But, and he used to throw at me and teach me a few things. And he said to me, against the fast bowlers, have your hands close to your body, have a short back lift, so you don't want to have a huge back lift. Don't have time to bring the bat down because the ball is so quick. And these were little triggers, but they helped. They help you enormously when you're batting out there. So yeah, it was, yeah, it really helped me a lot. And you're probably right. It was probably one of my defining moments as a Test cricketer.
Well, Monty, that moment got me into Test cricket. I remember it so fondly. And I think by the reaction we had when we announced that you were coming on the podcast, we had so many listener questions. Now, Alex Duke wants to ask you, who was the best teammate you had in your career?
It's interesting. My probably best teammate was the physio, because I try to keep him happy because my shoulder massage and everything like that. Wicketkeeper was like, it's like a husband and wife relationship with a wicketkeeper. He will tell you a few things what to do and you disagree with it. And then other times they will take an amazing stumping and you're like, oh my God, he got what an amazing wicket he got me. That relationship is so important. And also the guy at slip and the short leg. So there were the guys. So I was very close with Ian Bell at short leg, and I used to bowl to him. He would tell me about my pace. Andrew Strauss was good for me at slip. Jimmy Anderson used to be at slip. Matt Prior, Garrett Jones were, keepers, good guys for me. These that I would always communicate with them about my bowl, my pace. What, how do we get wickets? So it's really interesting that your best roommate or your teammate is actually the guy who gets you the wickets. Because our currency is wickets. If I'm getting a lot of wickets, then I'm happy, man.
Perfect. Yeah, Danush also asked, what is the wicket you're most proud of? Whether that be because it was an absolute ripper of a ball, or just the batsman you managed to get out.
Yeah, look, there's mate, look, first test wicket is always going to be one of my proudest moments. Sachin Tendulkar, that's, there's a dream come true. And that's when I started to react like that, when I used to take wickets. And I remember Michael Vaughan used to say to me, look, Monty, just keep celebrating like this. You're a breath of fresh air. You turn the ball, you spin it hard in your hand. Keep doing it. We love it. We love it when you celebrate and you have the enthusiasm, the keenness. I kept on doing it. But the funny thing is, if I never got Sachin Tendulkar as my first test wicket, I don't think I would have able to, you know, get, how do I say it? Able to get my first wicket with that same level of celebration. So we often talk about, you know, how do you able to get the energy, the passion for it? And I honestly believe it comes from these great moments. And then, you know, look, what other great wickets, you know, I was really happy about. It's a very great question as well, is because, there's been quite a few as well. And, you know, Yunis Khan at Headingley, he had a massive full stride. And I just bowled the ball and I clipped the bail. Honestly, that was, he has a brilliant defence. And I couldn't believe I beat his defence and he clipped the top of off and the bail just fell off. So that was one of my favourite wickets.
We have a lovely question in from Thomas Harvey from Old Bristolians Cricket Club, who's asking, what piece of advice would you give to young spinners before this season?
I think for young spinners is, you've got to understand, the philosophy of your spin is to give air and flight. And if you get hit down the ground, that is a good ball. If you get hit for a six and you get discouraged by the fact someone's hitting you for a six, then spin bowling isn't for you. And you've got to have a big heart. You've got to think to yourself, there'll be times where I may not get wickets, but if I bowl well, if I bowl quality deliveries, then I will catch up and I'll get that bucket loads of wickets. So it's that understanding. And sometimes kids want things to, they want it quick, don't they? Like T20 cricket. They want everything happening right now, this time and place. So understanding of that. Look, if you want to be a spinner, you're going to get hit for sixes, but you'll get loads of wickets as well. So that kind of philosophy in spin, I'd like more people to take up.
Is that the same advice you give to yourself before your test debut?
I think when I bowled my delivery against test debut, it was little cues like, shall I bowl over the wall? So when you bowl over the wall, you naturally get the right parabola, the right trajectory that goes above the eye line. So these are the little cues that you tend to have. The fish hook. So for example, get your fingers over the, like a fish hook, and then completing a bowling action, get your hips through the line, the train tracks, as they call it. So it's under pressure, a lot of spinners bowl underneath the wall because they are afraid to get hit for a six. You want to do them in the air, in the flight, and have the length a little bit back. But people rather be defensive. And I think that's why this new approach of Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum, their philosophy, their attitude is about attacking first. Attack, that's your best line of defense. Flight the ball, that's your best line of defense.
Amazing. And then the final question of the podcast, which you asked to all of our guests, and it's probably the most professional way to end a podcast, is which ground does the best food?
Well, there's many. I'm a vegetarian. So Lord's still does a fantastic vegetarian mushroom risotto. Other places, Edgbaston does very good Indian food as well. And I love that. Manchester, where I can wrap up that wicket, and I'll tell you what, I'll end up becoming the greatest test bowler ever because my record is unbelievable there. Food was fantastic there as well. So let's be honest, any ground in England, I think the food is brilliant.
We've got to ask you also, how was that day out at Luton versus Coventry City? I saw you with Cookie. Cookie didn't look like he could remember much of the game, but how was it for you as a Luton Town fan?
Yeah, look, we loved it. It was probably one of the greatest moments for any football fan. And, you know, I think as a football fan, we have irrational behaviours. We have a local team we support and a Premiership team. And Luton were in the non-league when I played for England, you know. And now they are in the Premiership. So for a non-league team to be the fastest team to get into the Premiership, that is a dream come true. And it was amazing, you know. I know everyone there. Mick Harford, Gary Sweet, Alistair Cook as well, you know, he's got a season ticket holder. And, you know, there's so many connections, Luton and myself with it, that I absolutely loved it. And it was honestly one of the best days of my life. And I can't wait next year when the likes of Jurgen Klopp getting lost and not knowing where Kenilworth Road is. Oh, Pep Guardiola saying, well, I won't turn up for Kenilworth Road, you know, because the ground is too small, and then we beat City as well. So I'll absolutely love that.
That would be brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Monty, for joining us on this podcast. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening to it. What an insightful and great podcast. And thanks for coming again, Monty. So make sure everyone, all of our listeners out there, to follow us on Instagram and TikTok. They're both at StickyWicket_URN. And we'll be back soon with another episode, an Ashes special coming up soon. So keep it URN, go well, and
cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, guys. We'll be right back.